Luke chapter number 22 this morning. We're glad you're here with us this morning. This is your first time here. We're so glad you're here. I do see we have some visitors here this morning. Thank you for choosing to worship with us. And we hope that you find in us a friendly church that you'll maybe want to come back and visit. Amen. Luke chapter number 22. We'll start in verse number 1. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for allowing us this morning to lift up our voices and sing and just worship you this morning. God, you deserve so much more than we ever could give. But Lord, I thank you that you allow us to give back just what we're able to give. Lord, I thank you now for what you've done for us in this church. God, I thank you for what you're going to continue to do in this church. Now, Lord, most of all this morning, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask you to bind the devil off this place this morning. Lord, he's not welcome here. Lord, we want to hear from heaven. I ask you now, God, as we open up your word, Lord, you said your word will not return void. And as we go on this journey, Lord, this month, from, Lord, the garden and then the betrayal, all the way up to the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Day, I pray, God, that you'll just be honored, as, Lord, I know that's what you've asked me to do. God, I just pray, God, that your people will be able to hear from you this morning. Now, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to preach, Lord. It's like one of my preacher friends texted me yesterday, Lord, and said, preach like Jesus is coming back Monday morning. Lord, I pray you'll allow me to do that today. And that somebody here, Lord, maybe if they don't know you, Lord, today will be the day of their salvation. And God, we sure will be thankful for it. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse number 1. I titled the message this morning, what's Jesus worth to you? What is Jesus worth to you? Over the next few Sundays, I've been praying about what to preach, and the Lord has kind of laid it on my heart to take you on a journey all the way from this betrayal time. We know Judas Iscariot betrayed our Lord and Savior, and you know, it's kind of weird to think about. You know, we do things against Jesus all the time. Everybody okay with that? We're all sinners, but you know, Judas was a man who physically got to walk and see Jesus every single day for 3.5 years, and what's even more cool to me, more meaningful to me, is that Jesus knew that Judas would betray him when he chose him to be one of his 12. He was still God. He knew, it was no secret that 3.5 years down the road, Judas would betray him. Well, can I say this morning, listen, Judas was used of Jesus too. You know, he had the gift of healing. If you read your Bible, you'll see that all the disciples had that gift of healing. Amen? Can I say this morning, listen, God can use any single one of us. God can use any single one of us. But can I also say this morning that Judas, you know, he looked the look, he walked the walk, talked the talk, he hung out with the disciples on the boat when they were going through the storms. He was one of the 12 that gathered up fragments after the 5,000 men plus women and children were fed. He was one of those 12. Everybody okay with this? Judas did a lot of stuff. And looking on the outside, the church would have said, hey, of course that guy's in favor with God. He's one of Jesus' disciples. Don't you know that? Can I just tell you this morning, this isn't meant to be a salvation message, but if the Lord uses it that way, I want you to understand, you can look the look this morning. You can talk the talk. You can walk the walk. You can see the dead rise. You know, Judas saw that firsthand. Judas saw many, many miracles firsthand. But in the end, he was a fake. See, when we stand before God, we're not going to have an excuse. Y'all know that? If it's not the blood, you're in big trouble this morning. And I want you to understand that Judas, 3.5 years, walked firsthand with our Savior. So I want to ask you this morning, what is Jesus worth to you? Luke 22 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into who? This is the second time you'll see this in the Bible, in John also, same event. Just a different guy giving an account. Surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the what church? Wow. And he went his way and communed with the chief priest and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him what? And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him, Jesus, unto them in the absence of the multitude. See, he didn't want the multitude to be there because everybody thinks Judas is one of him. You know what I'm saying here? The multitude at this point is still, you know, living on the high of Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead and making the lame walk and making the blind to see and the deaf to hear. This is what the people know about Jesus. You know, every time Jesus tries to go off alone, multitudes of people are following him because they want more of what he's got. But all along here, we have a betrayer right in the midst of our Savior. Can I say this morning that if Judas could be a betrayer, you could be a betrayer. I could be a betrayer. Any of us could be a betrayer. So what's Jesus worth to you this morning? In verse number 3, we see Satan is always looking for an opportunity to enter in. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may," what, church? "Devour." Listen, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. If the Bible says be sober, be vigilant, that means you always need to be steady. You don't need to be thinking about yourself. You need to be focusing on what God has for you, because listen, we've went through the doors. We've had a spiritual warfare conference. Listen, and we'll preach more spiritual warfare because I believe we're in a constant spiritual warfare every single day. I don't think we ever need to forget it. But listen, the Bible says be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the who? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he what? May devour. Now see, here's a good part for you and me. The word "may" is a permissible word. See, he's walking about wondering, I wonder who's going to open that door to this. I wonder who's going to open the door to that. And listen, you crack the door open, the devil is coming in hot and heavy. You understand? He's walking about seeking whom he may what? Devour. Satan's job, his motive, is to steal, kill, and to what? Destroy you. You learned it last week, church. Listen, we know all this stuff, but listen, it's very important to understand that we do have an adversary. This is why it is so important to set aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. And before we get any further in the message, how many agree we are all sinners? Amen? Everybody in here is a sinner. We all have been, for all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Listen, if we weren't sinners and we could have made it on our own, Jesus would not have had to do what he did for you and I. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Just think about all those who have gone before us. Take a little journey in your mind right now and think of all the loved ones that you've lost, that Lord willing, they knew Jesus and they're in heaven. And think about what they're doing today. Folks, they're not up there asleep. They're not up there taking naps. They can see what's going on down here. And I like to think about it like this. Every single time we struggle, every single time we fail, every single time we have a bad thought, every single time we get in a situation where we're about to fail, you know, listen, it's kind of like sitting at a ball game and you're on the edge of your seat and the crowd's anticipating what's going to happen next. Everybody's cheering for the home team, right? Listen, folks, we're the home team for the angels in heaven today. Y'all okay? Listen, they're cheering you on. Your loved ones aren't up there just forgetting who you are. They know exactly who you are. They know exactly what you're doing. They're cheering you on to do right. Hey, they've seen Jesus face to face. They know what he looks like. They know what his presence is like. And folks, listen, they're cheering you on to do right. Just do right. Just do right. Just do right. But how are we going to do right? We got to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so what? Easily beset us. I'll tell you what, the day I decided to get some things out of my life that I thought didn't really bother anybody, didn't really bother me, but Brother Vic, I'll tell you what it did. It affected this relationship right here. My relationship with God was a mess because of every weight and all the sin that did so easily beset me. And can I say this? You're never going to get rid of your sin until you call your sin what it is. It is sin and it is wrong. Amen? And it is affecting your relationship with God. All the loved ones who have gone on and have been with the Lord for some time, I can't help but think about all those cheering us on every single time we're tempted, cheering us on to do right. Can I say this? Judas had more of a love for money than he did for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talks about that, right? The Bible never said money is the root of all evil, did it? Not my Bible. We need money to survive. Is everybody okay? That's what makes this thing go round. But the Bible said, for the love of money is the root of what? All evil. Just think about it. I'm not here to preach politics to you. I'm here to preach the Bible. But if you just look at what's going on around you, you know what this all is about? Money. I want that money. No, I want that money. Well, let's give this person money so maybe we can get some money back from this person, right? It's all about what? Money. And really and truly, who should it be about for us as Christians? It should be about God. He had such a love for money that he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. My question to you today is, when and how often are you seeking an opportunity to betray Jesus? You might say, I would never seek an opportunity or even think of betraying Jesus. Well, can I say to you this morning that none of us ever walked personally 3.5 years with Jesus? Have you? Now, I've been saved for a long time, but I've never seen Jesus face to face. I didn't get to see Jesus walk up to the tomb of Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth, and watch Lazarus come out. I didn't get to sit down on a hillside and experience Jesus take 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and feed 5,000 men, plus women and children. No doubt they were there too. I didn't get to see Jesus walk up to a blind man and spit in the clay and wipe his hands in it and wipe it in the man's eyes, and the man opened up his eyes. Can you imagine how that must have been? That's what trees look like. That's dirt. Hey, I didn't get to see that. Judas did. And you know what Judas did? He betrayed him. For what? Money. He physically saw the miracles that I didn't get to physically see the miracles that Judas got to experience. Judas literally had his feet washed by Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus washed this man's feet. You know, Jesus died for us, but he never washed any of our feet. Judas sat and let the Savior wash his feet. And it still wasn't enough for Judas to say, God, you're enough. He washed his feet. Judas literally had his feet washed by Jesus. Judas sat and ate meals with Jesus. Have you ever thought about this? Broke bread with Jesus at the last Passover. Remember, you know, paraphrasing, he said, one of you are going to betray me. And here's the sad part about the whole story. None of them knew who it was except the one who was going to do it in Jesus. They all said, is it me? Is it you? Could you imagine having a meeting with your preacher? And the preacher said, one of you are going to betray me. And everybody starts looking around. Am I going to do it? Hey, what does that say about the other disciples? Y'all okay with this? Read your Bible. Judas listened to Jesus preach almost on a daily basis. He got to spend time with Jesus. How precious it must have been. And he still chose to betray him. You might say, how? Well, let me warn you this morning. If there's something in your life, it may not be money, but if there's something in your life that is more important to you than Jesus, friend, can I say you're no different than Judas this morning? You're just another Judas. Now, you might be saved, but did you know you can still betray Jesus? You can still turn away and say, God, I know that what you wanted me to do is what you wanted me to do, but let me just tell you, when you created, you put your name in there. You have no idea what you got. Folks, you know how many people live by that? It's all about who? Me. But you're wrong. It's not about you. You're just another Judas. You're betraying Jesus. We look at Judas and we say, how could you betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? Let me just tell you, So you know this morning, 30 pieces of silver today is worth on a high end about $441. He betrayed Jesus for $400. So I ask you again, what's Jesus worth to you this morning? This is what Jesus was willing, or Judas was willing to betray Jesus over. Matthew 26 this morning in verse number 14. Let's go there. Matthew 26 in verse number 14. I love hearing those Bible pages turn. Matthew 26 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Could you imagine? Now, I don't know exactly how much time, how many days or hours were between the time that he had this meeting with these men, that they agreed to pay him, "If you bring us Jesus, we'll give you this money." I don't know how much time, but it says from that time, he sought opportunity to betray Jesus. Could you imagine being so spiritually sick that you're seeking an opportunity to do damage to God and his kingdom? Could you imagine being that sick spiritually? Judas was. But keep in mind, Satan had already entered into him. As soon as Judas heard that they would give him for Jesus, he began from that moment to seek opportunity to betray him. The devil is always going to offer us things that seem to be worth it. But can I say, there's nothing the devil could ever offer you to come close to what God has offered you. God has offered every single one of us eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, this morning. Isn't that good? You know, the devil, he does tempt us with some pretty neat stuff, doesn't he? And here's the deal. Why do we fall for the temptation? Well, the devil's no dummy. Y'all know that? He's not very dumb. He's not going to go tempt you with something that he knows you're not going to like. He's going to tempt you with something that he knows is going to get your attention, right? You might say no the first couple times, but listen, the next day you might just have had an argument before you left home with your spouse or with one of your kids, and pretty soon the bait's flying out there, and you're like, "Oh, I said no to that yesterday, but that's looking mighty fine today." Y'all know where I'm going with this? You've been there. I've been there. We've been there. But Satan's never going to stop tempting. I wonder what it is this morning that is more important in your life than Jesus. Some, it may be money. Some, it may be your time. You just don't have time for Jesus. You know what really kind of bothers me sometimes about Christians? We come up with this, we always say this statement right here, you know, "Lord's will be there," "Lord's will do that." Listen, if we read our Bible, unless God has given you an absolute reason to not do what he's already told you to do, folks, it is his will. Y'all okay? It is his will. You'll meet people all through life, and you know there's faithful people to church and there's not so faithful people to church, and some are here when they feel they need to be here, they'll be here. When they don't want to be here, they won't be here. They'll come up with every excuse in the book why they can't be at church. "Well, Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow." Read your Bible. It's God's will that you forsake not the assembling of yourselves with the believers. It is God's will for you to be here. Stop saying "if it's God's will." You mean if it fits your time frame. That's what you should say to your pastor in your text. Y'all okay? "If it fits my schedule, I'll be at church tomorrow." There's no need to lie. If it's God's will. Come on now. That's Bible. That's a Bible principle. To be here when you're able to be here. And listen, I'm not talking about if you're sick and you can't be here and you're working and you can't be here. I'm talking about can be here, but don't want to be here. Don't want to make time to be here because it just don't fit my schedule. Well, what if you wouldn't have fit God's schedule? Y'all okay? What if at the crucifixion time, instead of praying, nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will be done, what if Jesus would have said, you know what? You know how these people are going to be for generations, God? You want me to die for a generation of people who some are going to love me, some are going to proclaim they love me, but no one's really ever going to be faithful and appreciative to what I've given them so freely? I don't think so. What if Jesus would not have had time for you? What if the game would have been on the night of the crucifixion? And Jesus was a fan of whoever was playing. You think he would have skipped church? Folks, that's foolish. I love sports too. But I don't love that stuff more than God. I've never missed church to watch a football game. I've never missed church to watch a baseball game. As a matter of fact, I remember one time I was playing baseball. I was 12 years old. And we had a game scheduled at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. We were in All-Stars, and we were playing in Monroe County. And here's what happened. I said, Grandma, Grandpa, like, and I knew the rule, because I already knew. The one time I was able to miss church, I about lost a finger. I've told you that story. But we had a baseball game scheduled, and they come to me Saturday night. They're like, Drew, look, we know you have a game at 1 o'clock, but you have church at 9:45 in the morning, and you have church at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll go when church is over. I said, but you know they want us there an hour early for batting practice. They said, well, if they want you to play, they'll have to get you when you get there. And can I tell you something? It would have been easy for my grandparents to say, you know what, it's just one Sunday. Folks, don't ever fall into that lie. Because that Sunday, you don't know what God is going to do with your little one. You don't know. There's a reason that the temptation to miss is there. Where sin abound, grace did what? Much more abound. Good and evil. He told you. They travel on parallel tracks, right? And they often arrive right at the same time. Just as quick as the devil gives you an excuse to miss, you better wonder, God, why would the devil not want me at church this Sunday? And you better say, you know what, devil? Enough's enough. Be a Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Just what is Jesus worth to you this morning? Maybe it's your time. Can I say I sure am glad Jesus had time for me? Some might say, you just don't understand this. Jesus thing don't fit into my lifestyle. Well, let me break some news to you. It did not fit into my worldly lifestyle either. Y'all all right? When I was living for the world, doing things for the world, even as a saved person, you say, oh, saved man? Yeah. You've been there, right? Saved people sin too. Okay? And when you're living for the world and you're pleasing the world, but can I tell you this? Friendship with the world, the Bible says, is enmity with God. Root word, enemy. God's enemy. Who's the prince and power of the world? The devil. And when we're yoking up with, you know, that's why the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked. When we're yoking up with that crowd, listen, we become an enemy of God. If you're living for the world, the flesh, and the devil, listen, you're not going to appreciate this right here. You're going to want nothing to do with this because, listen, when you yoke up with God, and I'm talking about really yoke up with God, and his word, and you say, let God be true, and every man a liar. Let me tell you something. This is not going to add up with your worldly lifestyle. And some of you are scared of that. Some of you are scared to say, you know, if I just get on board with this God thing, I'm going to have to get rid of, and you got a list of things. But you know what? You're right. But that's okay. Because God is so much better. And if you just experience living for Jesus just one time, you wouldn't want anything else. You wouldn't want what the world has to offer you. Can I say when God saved me, He saved every inch of me, and that's a whole lot of inches. But he saved it all. And listen, if God saves you, he's not just saving some of you. He's saving every single bit of your being. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why? Because you now have been given the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm so thankful that my life does not fit in with the world anymore. And Christian, listen, your life should, I just said it, but your life should not fit in with the world. You should not come here, you should come here, but you shouldn't come here on Sunday and pretend to be something that you're really not. Because here's the deal. You spend far more time, teenagers, I know you're not in here this morning, but you know our kids spend a lot more time at school than they do with us. Is that true? More hours a week there than they do at home. And as they get older, they have jobs. And adults, listen, men, we spend more hours with our coworkers in reality as we're working our and living our lives and working than we do with our church people, don't we? So, and even than we do with our own families, and that's not a bad thing. You need to provide for your family. You need to work. You need to do that. We need more young men to learn that principle. Amen? They need to work. But here's the deal. Your coworkers probably know you better than most of your family. And here's the deal. If you are proclaiming to be something in these doors that you're not out there, the Bible calls you a hypocrite. The Bible says you are a double-minded man. And it also says a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So when are we going to realize that what God's word said is true? It doesn't matter. Oh, well, that Bible. It's just because I do this and this. That doesn't mean I'm double-minded. Not according to God. And if we're going to let God be true and every man a liar, if we're going to build our foundation on the rock and not the sand, hey, listen, you better realize what you're doing is wrong. You need to start living like you are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that my life does not fit in with the world anymore. And I'll tell you, one of the hardest things for me to stop, I've told you about the music and the nicotine. I started messing with tobacco when I was 9 years old. And I didn't quit 100% until 2015. But above that and the music, I had a filthy mouth, Brother Tim. I mean, I was proud that I could spit them four-letter words out and come up with things, and it sounded cool to me. But now that I've 100% turned my life over to the Lord and I asked God to control my tongue and take that speech from me, and he did, by the way, he did. Amen? When I hear those words, I kind of cringe. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, and here's what I think about. I used to sound like that. Folks, that's not how we should sound. That's not how God intended us to talk. That's not how God intended us to walk. Those are not the things that God intended us to do. We should be convinced that God is enough. Can I say this? Not only am I thankful that I don't fit in with the world anymore, I'm thankful for the conviction of God Almighty. How many of you have had conviction before? Can I say something? Conviction is always from God. The devil has never convicted a single person, but boy, he sure does send guilt. I'm thankful for conviction. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that leads me and guides me into all truth. I'm thankful that I have a Bible that once in my life was not so important to me, but now is everything to me. And I mean that. I go somewhere, and I don't even like sitting on a pew and picking up somebody else's Bible and reading it, because I have a relationship with my Bible. You understand what I'm saying? It fits me. Folks, you ought to have a relationship with your Bible. When you go to church, here's a good you know, analogy if you really care about your Bible. You go to church and you've realized, shoot, left my cell phone at home. You'll drive all the way back home to get that phone, won't you? But what if you get here and you say, man, I left my Bible at home. I wonder how many of us would have enough character to get in our cars and go back home and get our Bibles so that we have our Bibles at church. Oh, there's some in there on the pews. Yeah, and that one gets just about as much work as yours does. Y'all hear me? You ought to have a relationship with this thing. Sunday morning, you ought to have this at church. Not this Bible. I'm not against it now, don't get me wrong. But I think you ought to have this Bible. Open it up. This right here, you know, I've seen people doing this during church. Oh, I'm on my Bible app, but they're scrolling. And the preacher's just preaching. Like, since when was Facebook a book of the Bible? Since when was ESPN, ESPN, a book of the Bible? You know, you can use that and say, oh yeah, and I understand it. At work, you're reading it on your phone, that's good. But listen, when you're in church, you know what else comes across these screens? Text messages, notifications, email. Oh, let me see what she had to say. And God's trying to speak to you. But so is the world. Y'all all right? Put that thing away for just a few minutes. It ain't going to hurt you. Do not disturb mode. Oh, you got smartphones. Put it on do not disturb for 30 minutes. Turn it back off and you might have 100 text messages when you leave. That'll be all right. At least you got to hear from God today. Amen? I'm thankful I have a Bible. I'm thankful. Men, listen to this. I'm thankful God gave me a wife that loves the Lord and that loves her children and that loves her husband and loves the ministry that God has called us into. Can I say that I would be nothing without a God-given wife? If I lost my wife, I'd lose everything. We're one. Y'all all right? I'd lose my best friend. I'd lose my soulmate, my love. Men, I wonder how you feel about your wife and if you're thankful for her. You should be. Sometimes question, well, why isn't she thankful for me? Well, how much do you love her? When's the last time you told her you loved her and didn't want something from her? Y'all know what I'm talking about. All the teenagers are gone. Y'all hear me, men? When's the last time you said, honey, I just want you to know I'm so thankful that God put you in my life. And no, I don't want nothing. I just want you to know that. I just want you to know you're everything to me. You complete me. She'd love that. You guys know that? She'd love that. Now, she might be surprised, but she'd love it. And you just might be surprised how she would react to you if she had significance from you and security. It's a big deal. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful she loves the ministry. I'm thankful for the heritage that God has given me through my 4 sons and 2 daughters. How could I ever come up with a good reason to want to betray Jesus? On top of all that, and I said on top of all that for a reason. You say, what could be more important than what you just said? Well, let me tell you. I'm thankful that he chose to die for me. I am thankful that Jesus Christ chose to die for me. Just a wretched sinner. I'm thankful. Why would he do that? I'm not afraid to say that I'm not who I once was. And it's all thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Amen? Judas chose to betray Jesus because he loved something more than he loved the Lord. Please don't fool yourself this morning. Judas played the part for 3.5 years and ultimately betrayed Jesus. He killed himself, and as far as we know, today is spending an eternity in hell, where he'll forever experience wailing and gnashing of teeth. And where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It might be you today. And if it is you, folks, there's good news. I always like to end on good news. I don't want to leave you with that. The good news is this morning, just like Judas had an opportunity to do right, you have an opportunity this morning, if you're lost, to turn from your wicked ways and accept Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior. As the piano player comes, I'm going to finish preaching here. It won't be long, I promise. She's going to start playing, but I want you to start thinking this morning. Reality is, death is coming. Everybody okay with that? Not a single one of you could I call and I could say, hey, do you know when your death day is going to be? Now I could call and say, hey, when's your next doctor's appointment scheduled for? When's that surgery date? I could ask my kids, when's that test you haven't studied for yet? But I can't say to any of you, hey, do you know when your death day is? None of you could look me in my eyes and say, yeah, I know. Because you don't know. But here's the reality. As the piano starts to play, death is coming. Death is going to be passed to all men. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Listen, it's very important this morning. I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know the Lord, please don't waste this opportunity that God has given you, because it might be the last time. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Well, can I say that sin has already been paid for? Jesus